So, let me get this straight. This is the Triple Chance Battle Royal. Why it's called a Triple Chance Battle Royal, I don't know. And what happens is there are two rings. And there are different tag teams who are in the first ring. And then if you get thrown in the second ring, that's halfway to being eliminated. If you get thrown out of that second ring, you are actually eliminated. Now, this carries on until you get two people in the first ring, two people in the second ring, and two of those people, well, all of them work together as tag teams. So I don't know how they decide who's going to be working with who in the event that's decided for them. Well, kinda. And then the winning tag team get $50,000 each. It's a check, so it's not as if they've got a suitcase of money or anything. So it's $100,000, $50,000 each, for working with someone that you might not like. And it's a triple chance because there isn't a triple situation in it. This is Continental Wrestling from the 11th of November 1986. AOR, Journey, Don't Stop Believing. And I'm confused. Morgan Fairchild. Remember that? Was that Flamingo Road? It was. I was even confused about that. It must be my age. It's an age thing. Because Gordon Solie seems to understand exactly what it is. First of all, though, before we get there, we've got Al Scott and Clement Fields. You know, Al Scott and Clement Fields. You know. There's a nice park there in Clement Fields. Not really. They're two wrestlers who are not in any way a squash. They are fighting Jerry Stubbs and Tony Anthony. I'm hard-blooded. Check in and see. I got a fever of 103. Come on, etc., etc. And Stubbs is calling himself Mr. Perfect. It was 2 years before the other Mr. Perfect. Or was it a year before? So, you know, that's okay, I suppose. And apparently, the referee, according to Gordon Solie, is Nick Dukas. He's the senior troubleshooting referee for the Continental area. He's like the Red Adair of referees. What they do is they say, there's been a problem with a blindsided punch here, and the referee didn't see it, and he's given the belt to someone. Send for Nick Dukas. Du-du-du-du. Du-du-du. It's the D-team. Du-du-du-du. Rum du-du-dum. Du-bum-bum. It's that. I ain't getting on no plane. And that was a B.A. Baracus impression. Not bad, actually. Actually, he's the basis of one of my favourite movie moments when he plays Clubber Lang. Yeah. What's your prediction for the fight, Clubber? Prediction for the fight? Pain. Great. Back to the match. There is a Stubbs headlock for ages, it seems. Solie tells us that Stubbs and Anthony are tagging in and out. When was that then? Because I didn't remember seeing them tagging in and out. It's almost as if he's telling us what should be happening when it's not. Just think, remember and listen to my voice. They tagged in and out. And this show is actually very good. That show's really good. Yeah. You've got Stubbs coming off the top with an axe handle. There is a, not a double axe handle, just the one. There's a Stubbs slam. In comes Tony Anthony with fists and feet, according to Solie. It's got a lovely turn of phrase, you know. Then Stubbs decides to add an axe handle to the axe handle, making it a double axe handle, just to keep up at the back. And then the axe handle's on the back, actually. Then there's a double suplex and a sort of doomsday device from Anthony into the scorpion deathlock, hitting the nerve area for a tap, or rather a concession. Solie calls it. I love that. There's a concession. That's just great. Not a t-shirt concession. It's a different kind of concession. Now, In comes a car. It's a promo with a police escort for no particular reason. And, yeah, it's got a police escort. And it's the bullet. He's bad to the bone. Bad. So there's all that going on. He goes into a facility, which looks like a small shed-type room, and there are the Armstrongs in there, because he's nothing to do with the Armstrongs, so he wouldn't know where that was or anything, or would, has never been there before. And they're all working out. So we see them working out in their homemade gym. Then he leaves with his driver and dances a bit in front of the car, and that's the promo. I mean, I thought that the Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden one was bad the other week, but that's awful. And anyway, here are Adrian Street and Steve Armstrong. And more of that in a minute, because we go straight to Rip and Tony Anthony, because they'll be doing the tag team tourney, and Stubbs is there in the background as a bit of a spare part. He's there and he's desperately trying to do more work than them to get into the situation. You know, when you've got a mate who keeps putting his arm around your shoulders and really all you want to do is talk to your other mate. Yeah, he tries to get involved. Rip's angry about Brenda being suspended. And then we go back to the podium and Adrian Street's, he hasn't had his hair done and he's got no makeup on. He looks a bit odd like that, because you wouldn't expect it, you know. He does look smaller. He does look less important. And it's a bit of a lesson, that one. Yeah. Anyway, here's the Hawk, who's a... he's a be-masked wrestler, versus Tom Piper. Pritchard. Yeah. The Hawk is booed, of course. The women scream, actually, for Tom. They really do. Dr. Tom. And he's over because he's a good-looking boy. And here we've got Nick Dukas, who is the senior troubleshooting referee for the NWA and Continental. You said that before. Is that at the NWA now? Is the answer... Has Dukas asked him specifically... I'm not coming unless Gordon Solie says, in both of the first two matches, maybe it's that. Pritchard apparently is in the blue trunks. They're actually green. That's what Solie says. No, they're not green at all, are they, Gordon? They're blue. They're clearly blue. It might be colourblind. They're clearly blue. Anyway, early on, we've got the Hawk bailing and taking time getting back. Pritchard gets some shots, kick off the ropes. He kind of makes to look as if he's going to remove the mask, and Hawk doesn't like that. Oh, he's worried. He's worried that's a lack of respect. Then there are some Hawk kicks. He wraps his leg around the ropes. Not his, Pritchard's, of course. Pritchard gets some big punches off the ropes. And Solie says about a particularly large punch. He came out of the backyard with that one. That's fantastic. He's got a lot of phrases this week. I see, it's part of the magic of Continental for me. And he doesn't always do that. But when he does several. He's on form tonight, and I love that. Back in the ring, Hawk works the leg. Pritchard goes to the ice because he can be a bit naughty. Spinning toe hold from the Hawk, or just Hawk. Yeah, it's not that Hawk. Don't get excited. It's not... It could be Hawk, I suppose, before he became... No, because they've come from much earlier in the 80s, don't they? So, because he's got the spinning toe hold, Pritchard's back to the eyes. Might as well. Hawk shinbreaker cranks on the leg. And then you've got him pushing him off as Pritchard and firing back. Hawk, though, kicks to the leg, headbutt to the thigh, and then a sort of enziguri, really, from Pritchard, and that's a damn fast count. It's like this. From Nick Dukas, the troubleshooting referee, the Red Adair of wrestling. Of refereeing, should I say. It's a really fast count. And there is your winner, Dr. Tom Piper. Pritchard. And it was a pretty good match, actually. It wasn't bad at all. Now, here's Kevin Sullivan with his mates. Chris Von Colt has got several paper clips, it looks like, attached to his eyebrow. So he keeps leaning in to show us that, look, this looks interesting. And it does, but it's a bit impractical. I mean, dare me to drive with that? You couldn't be able to see. It's like when Prince, remember when he had those, that that kind of mesh over the face. I mean, you wouldn't. I'll drive you to the store. No, 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 don't bother. I'll walk. It's 2 miles. Don't worry. I'll walk. Anyway, we've got Sullivan talking about taking the bullet's mask off again, which he's done before, but nobody was around to see it. Oh, that's convenient, isn't it? He's upset that Ron Fuller is being allowed back in. And he asked Gordon if the Tennessee stud is Ron. Gordon says, well, they're the same size and he sounds like Ron. Ergo, one would think it is. But he's the Tennessee stud until the mask comes off. Well, it's no good, Gordon, is it? Because when he was first here and he did his first match, he was announced as Ron Fuller. A Tennessee stud, Ron Fuller. He's already been announced like it. And they didn't even edit that out. So all this stuff around, well, who is it? Who do you think it is? Is it Ron? It might be, but it might not. It's already been, the gaff's already been blown. You don't need to be Sherlock Holmes, my say what's on, to know that. Anyway, Sullivan went on the 13th step with the Abuda Dean and he chewed upon the betel nuts. He did, because the local McDonald's was closed. And he didn't fancy a Big Mac anyway, so he had a handful of betel nuts. Everything became clear, apparently. Evil lives in all of us. Well, if you believe in good and evil, then that will be the case. But maybe they're just a construct to keep you in line, eh? Eh? Maybe? Eh? Or to sell newspapers, eh? Eh? Or for clickbait, eh? Don't you think? Maybe? Eh? And apparently, he had the 13 darts of death stuck in his back. I don't know. Maybe he was standing next to the board. And is it, get out of the way, Kevin. I'm trying for double top. Get out of the way. He tells Soli that accidents can happen at any time. Then it's a bit strange, really, because Sullivan goes and clearly wants his mates to go with him. Chris von Colt stays around and says that Sullivan saved him and he's under some kind of spirit or trance when Sullivan's there. He sounds incredibly American to me. He doesn't sound like he's come from Germany at all. What part of Germany were you in then? New York? It's just ridiculous. Kevin Sullivan has to take him from the podium and it's left to Soli to give us another fantastic line. He says the podium is the Geneva of wrestling. It's fantastic. So it steers... Well, it doesn't really, because he makes moral comments about baddies and goodies, but it steers a line through that. It doesn't give you any kind of preference here. Now, here is the Triple Chance Battle Royal. Now, the rules are... No, I've explained all that. So, the Nightmares, Kevin Sullivan, the Headhunters are in there. You've got Steve Armstrong's in there. Roy Lee Welsh is in there. He's hammering on Tom Pritchard a bit. And at one point, there were some wrestlers who are not mentioned. I've never seen them before, and they're not mentioned. At one point, Gordon said, we've got one man down, and it is... The battle continues. I don't recognise him. It's that sort of thing. Sullivan smacks a Nightmare as he walks by. As he said, he's acting as a general in there. He's just hitting random people. And then most of them are piling on one wrestler who I don't think is someone we know. They're saying, oh, he's in a terrible situation. Oh, that's awful for him. Who is he? And the second ring hasn't got, you know, the Continental Wrestling ring skirt with the Continental name on it? Hasn't got one of those. So you just see under the ring. It's a bit odd. It doesn't look like it's finished, really. In the middle of this, Dr. Tom Pritchard is out to chat with Gordon. But isn't he in the match? Didn't I just see him in the Triple Chance Battle Royal? Well, then Roy Lee Welsh comments on Pritchard's comments. But isn't he in the match as well? Wasn't he just out there? They got changed and come to the Geneva of wrestling. And then we go straight back to the match where Welsh and Pritchard are fighting each other. You couldn't have chosen a worse point in the match to go back. Steve Armstrong is really bloodied. He's bladed or it's hard way. I don't know, but he's got a lot of claret there. The Headhunters hold him for Sullivan to slap him. And then Sullivan's thrown into ring two, which I didn't think he expected. And he'll now have to work with Steve Armstrong against the Headhunters. They're the last four. So remember what I said. You've got four people in the ring and they have to work with each other. I don't know how they decide, but it's made up. The mind's made up for them because two of them are the Headhunters, who are a tag team anyway. So Sullivan would have to team with Steve Armstrong, but he thinks he's won anyway, because either he and Steve Armstrong will win, or probably more likely the Headhunters will win, and they will give the checks to Kevin Sullivan. Suddenly, Armstrong gets a sudden pin. There's not much to it, not much more to it than that. It's a hubris situation, with Sullivan being really excited and really, you know, being arrogant about it and suddenly losing. And he grabs both checks and runs off. Because if you can't win the battle, you win the war, don't you? Now, here's the nightmares with Tennessee Stud. It could be Ron Fuller. I just don't know who it is. With Gordon, and the Nightmares want Sullivan in Columbus. Well, don't we all? You know, I mean, Christmas is coming up. But Sullivan, then with Gordon at the Geneva of Wrestling, and his mates, has the $100,000. Continental, he's told, is demanding that he returns the $50,000. You can only have half of it. You only give us half. And he says, oh, if you're talking about half, and rips one of the checks up. Now, it would have been more effective if he'd ripped up some kind of bearer bond, or, I don't know, some money perhaps. Some fake money, but some money perhaps. But if you're ripping up a check, then you just write out another check, don't you? Cancel that one, I'm going to write another one. What's that one? It ends in 125, right. Well, write 126, I'll write that one out. So, he says that when he was in the match, he went into a kind of trance, and he thought about the money. Well, that's not really mystical, is it, Mr. Mystic? He went to the 13th step, and had the darts of truth in his back, or whatever it was, and he ate on the betel nuts, and he communed with the Abudadeen, and then he's thinking about money. Make your mind up, mate. You're either a capitalist or you're not. And that's Continental Wrestling. The Continental. A triple threat. Well, not a triple threat. A triple chance, isn't it? A triple chance. Battle Royal. And I don't know what the rules are. And nobody else seems to either. But there you go. At least it was a little bit exciting. Gordon Soley was on real form. But really, it wasn't that good. However, they are scaling Sullivan back a bit. And actually, that worked this week, because there are some other people in this promotion now, and it would be nice to see them. And I wonder who that Tennessee Stud is. Maybe we'll find out next week. Oh, I can't wait. Ta-ta.